The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If you can be convinced that you cannot defeat Donald Trump, will you stand down?
It depends. If the Lord Almighty comes out and tells me that, I might do that.
And if Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and Nancy Pelosi come down and say, we're worried that if you stay in the race, we're going to lose the House and the Senate, how will you respond?
Look, I mean, if the Lord Almighty came down and said, Joe, get out of the race, I'll get out of the race. The Lord Almighty's not coming down.
I agree that the Lord Almighty is not going to come down, but if you are told reliably from your allies, from your friends and supporters in the Democratic Party, in the House and the Senate, that they're concerned you're going to lose the House and the Senate if you stay in, what will you do?
I'm not going to answer that question.
But bottom line, this is not a decision for Lord Almighty. This is a real world decision for real world people in politics and who care about our country to decide what we think is the best path forward. And it has to be the best path to give us the best chance of keeping Donald Trump in Project 2025 out of the White House.
At least four senior Democrats are publicly calling for President Biden to step aside as his campaign faces mounting pressure following that ABC News interview that was supposed to get him in better shape. Well, it didn't work.
So right after President Biden's interview aired Friday, you posted on X that he is dangerously out of touch. Why do you say that?
Well, because listening to the interview, he seemed to deny where he is in the race. He seems not to grasp what is the big concern that people have. You know, it's more likely that he'll lose by a landslide than win narrowly this race. And if the stakes are as large as he says, and I believe they are, then he really needs to consider what the right thing to do here is.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again, I'm here for two reasons, pal. One, to rebuild the economy for hardworking middle-class people, give everybody a shot. Just a straight shot. Everybody gets a fair chance, number one. Number two, remember all this talk about how I don't have the black support? Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch. I'm getting so frustrated by the elite. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elite in the party who they know so much more. But if any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
72% of voters say that they believe President Biden is too old. That's according to CNN's most recent polling. Voters have been saying this for quite a long time. The reality is that the Democratic elites are mostly late to acknowledge these age and ability issues compared to the rest of the public. The elites have been forced to reckon with it after the debate just 11 days ago.
Look at my career. I've not had many of those nights. It was a terrible night, and I really regret it happened. But the fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea, I'm too old.
The fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be out on, you know, on your way to go, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea that I'm too old. Keep in mind, that soundbite is supposed to be reassuring to those Democratic supporters who have gone wobbly.
That last bit there from Jake Tapper, that's just devastating. There he is. He's reading back what Biden had to say on Morning Joe yesterday morning. We'll get to that and a lot more on today's show. If you can bear with my raspy voice, this is not the political environment in which to come to work with a raspy voice, but we've got lots and lots of clips to spice things up for you, as I say, if you can bear with me. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. I can also assure you that I feel much better than I sound. So, but we do have lots and lots of audio and video clips. Just in case my voice betrays me during the clips, I'll slip in a throat lozenge and hopefully we can go for the long haul on today's show. But just in watching the news cycle these past several days, I really wanted to get back in the studio because what we're seeing is a remarkable division between the fake president and his administration, his small circle of advisors, and the elites, as you heard there in that cold open. That would be Barack Obama. That would be the dear leader. We've not seen this kind of division between Biden and Obama. I mean, you really can look back on that debate, June 27, as a significant turning point, as this treasonous takeover of the United States began to unravel. Joel Hilliker had a great Trumpet brief last night. It's posted at the website, thetrumpet.com, even as we speak. But he says God's rubbing their noses in it. God's exposing them. They really don't. That's why when it's Donald Trump, the message is clear. Everyone says the same thing. That's the drone-like behavior we're used to. And so this is what makes this, the way they're approaching Biden, and should he stay, should he go, all the mixed messaging. This is what makes that so significant, because we're not used to that. They are in lockstep. In the case of Trump, it's bad orange man, Trump derangement syndrome on full display. And then in the case of the dear leader, the elites of the Democrat Party, they swoon, like my father brings out in America Under Attack. They have been swooning for decades. They've been swooning since 2008. And now you see Joe Biden. I mean, there's still plenty of commentators that we follow, like Sundance, that says it's only a matter of time before he steps aside. That may well happen. But from the looks of it, at least these past several days, he's digging in his heels. Those elites, they think they know so much better than me. Joel Hilliker in that piece, let me just give you a quote. This is what he said to Stephanopoulos. That was supposed to sort of repair the damage. And for whatever reason, they decide to have that on July 5th, just the day after the holiday here in the United States when most people aren't watching. But if they were, it was another train wreck. It was another disaster. He said to Stephanopoulos, I'm the guy that put NATO together. I put NATO together. I'm the guy that shut Putin down. I'm the guy that put together a South Pacific initiative with AUKUS. I'm the guy that got 50 nations to help Ukraine. I'm the guy that got the Japanese to expand their budget, et cetera, et cetera. It's like Mr. Hilliker said earlier in his piece. He went all the way back to when I think Biden was running in 2008. He was convinced at that time that he could save the world. So that's the kind of hubris and vanity and pride that we're talking about here. Forget about the cognitive decline. The pride and the vanity. Doesn't seem like they want to walk away from that power, that position of power. And truly, it seems like the dear leader is losing his control. You have Democrats that are now speaking their mind. Some on this end of the spectrum, some on the other. They're not just taking exactly what the dear leader says. You can be sure the dear leader is talking to a lot of people. And he's going to, like Sundance says, he's going to give the appearance like he's, you know, sort of above the fray. But listen to what the Obama people are out there saying. Axelrod and others. Van Jones. As I said, with respect to Donald Trump, you know what you're going to get. You know the message right across the board is going to be the same. Listen to clip 12.
Donald Trump cannot be president again. He's an existential threat to democracy. That's something that endangers democracy. That's what happened in the 1930s. The Germans just walked in line with Hitler and Stalin. They just walked in line. Democrats like to speak and think on behalf of the constituencies that they represent.
Look, I'd be happy if both the president and Donald Trump took cognitive
tests. So that's a yes. You think he should take a cognitive test?
I think they both should be willing to take a test. I think, frankly, a test would show Donald Trump has a serious illness of one kind or another.
It overshadowed all the lies President Trump told during that debate. Every time he opened his mouth, he said something insane or that was a lie. I mean,
and Donald Trump, a pathological liar who has advertised that he wants to endorse and mainstream political violence in this country.
That subordinates that are following orders from Donald Trump, for example, to do criminal acts would also not be prosecuted because they're just, quote, following directions, instructions, or orders. Nick, we saw that happen with Hitler. We saw that happen in Germany.
See, really, they're angry because Joe Biden's meltdown on June 27th, it's overshadowed, you know, the Trump is Hitler message. And they're trying to get it out there. They're trying to amplify that message. Coming back to Joel Hilliker's piece, it says here, Biden has been living in a world of lies for so long, he apparently believes his own lies. He's there with Stephanopoulos saying, hey, look at the crowds that I draw. Hello? Yeah, let's look at the crowds. Even Stephanopoulos pushed back on that one. And then I created NATO. I forget the other statement. It wasn't with Stephanopoulos, but it was at a recent speech where he said he was the first black woman something. Just crazy things that are coming out. He's all over the map. And you've got Jake Tapper speaking on behalf of the Dear Leaders intelligence community. You've got Jake Tapper reading the script back to him, even when it's scripted. He calls in to Morning Joe yesterday, and he's got the script there in his office as he's talking to Joe and Mika. And even with that, it's incoherent. He's been living in a world of lies for so long, he apparently believes his own lies. He thinks the public loves and reveres him. He's convinced his economics, domestic policy, and foreign policy have been unmitigated successes. He's convinced. He's convinced the country's never been better. And it's because he's at the helm. He's saving the world. He's ruling the world, he essentially said to Stephanopoulos. These people are drunk. Not just on power, they're drunk on pride. It says here, now this charade has been exposed. Let me just back up. Mr. Hilliker said, Joe Biden proved to be the perfect puppet to continue the fundamental transformation of America started by Barack Obama. Now this charade has been exposed. Biden's incapacity is obvious. It's clear he would lose to Trump. With the election weeks away, Democrats are desperate for him to go, but suddenly he has decided he isn't taking orders. He and his family are digging in. He has the delegates he needs to secure the Democrat nomination, and he says he has no plans to give them up. You just come forward. You know, if he makes it to the DNC in August, and then what happened? He's got all the delegates. What will the regime do? What's left to do? They've already exposed themselves as being liars and part of this cover-up. And now they say, the New York Times says it now every day, he's got to go. What happens if he doesn't go? What are they going to be left with then? How are they going to pivot in late August or in September? If he's the nominee, maybe this gives us a little insight into how they may pivot. Clip four.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. I have poopy days all the time. All the I step in so much poo you can't even imagine.
Democracy in America historically is a contest between parties, not necessarily personalities. And Joe Biden is not that important. If the Democrats believe, and I think a lot of them sincerely do, that this is an existential threat to democracy and all that stuff, whether I think some of that is overblown or not, doesn't matter. The only relevant question to ask is, what is our best shot at winning?
It's crucial that we maintain perspective. Whatever happens with Biden, whether he steps aside or stays the course, the Democratic nominee, any Democratic nominee, will be a better option than the alternative, which is the downfall of American democracy. Rid yourself of the notion that this is simply a race between two parties. This is a fight to preserve our hard-fought freedoms. Biden's condition, whether it's tiredness or something else, is certainly not irrelevant, but it's almost irrelevant. More than two centuries after the founding fathers rejected tyranny, we find ourselves summoned to a similar call to defend and uphold the principles of democracy. Our job as citizens is to choose democracy, whomever is carrying that flag into the next election.
Anybody but Trump, even if the certain anybody is a corpse, an empty suit, just put him in there. The man, in fact, now this is part of the mixed messaging. Now, you know, the office of the presidency, it's not really that important. We just got to stop Trump. We just got to make sure. This is why they're panicking. This is why they're all over the map. Really, it's like I said last week, it all comes down to the politics of this. Never mind the next 6-7 months. Never mind that he should be removed because he's the president of the United States and he can't function. He can't win. So that's why we're throwing him under the bus. He can't win. And so that's why Jake Tapper's reading back the transcript, trying to humiliate him, trying to intimidate him. And like Mr. Hilliker says, though, he's digging in his heels, and his handlers are out there defending the indefensible. Here's the French lady yesterday explaining away the fact that, and again, this is probably leaked by the intel community, they're terrified at the return of Trump. So they leak the information about this Parkinson's expert. Evidently, he's made 8 or 9 visits to the White House. There's one reporter in the regime, one of the regime media journalists that's there in the press briefing room, who's pretty upset. You know, how come you won't give us more detail on this so-called Parkinson's expert? Play clip 5.
Wait, no. Wait a minute. Ed, please, a little respect here, please. So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's 3 times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist 3 times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you that he has seen them 3 times. That is what I'm sharing with you, right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist. So that is answering that question.
No, it's not.
No, it is. It is. You're
Dr.
asking
Kevin
me.
Kennard,
I cannot.
The White House,
but I just. I also said to you, Ed, I also said to you, for security reasons, we cannot share names. We cannot share names.
Yeah, we can't tell you about the doctor. We can't tell you how many times he's visited the White House. We've got to keep all of it secret. Good for at least some of these reporters to finally hold their feet to the fire. We've just not seen it. We didn't see it all through the Obama years. We didn't see it for 3.5 years. We didn't see it until after June 27th. What a turning point. As Obama, the dear leader, his grip on power begins to slip. And now you see a Democrat Party that's in disarray. Never mind what, where is Joe Scarborough's take? This is another fresh, hot take from the morning meltdown. This is clip 8.
But Joe Biden now has what I would dream of having if I were running for president of the United States in his position. Joe Biden has a fired up, angry Democratic base in parts, and he's got a lot of elites putting him in a position where he can look strong, staring them down.
Right. Biden's in a perfect position. I would dream of being in a position this strong. Huh? How does he get at his talking points every morning when he gets up? He is all over the map. You could do a mixed messaging montage just of Joe Scarborough. But we're seeing it right across the board. He's in a perfect position. Now he's got the base stirred up. He's got to go, the New York Times says. We got to get rid of him. So, some other voices will say. Here's an example of the mixed messaging. This is clip 10.
One poll shows her doing better against former President Trump. Do you think she's a stronger candidate to take on Donald Trump?
I think the vice president would be a phenomenal president. I think
really what the president was doing in that interview was showing defiance, dismissing the concerns and the critics about his candidacy.
Country. But if he answers those questions this week, there's no doubt that he can win this race.
Certain immutable facts of life, and those were painfully obvious on that debate stage. And the president just doesn't seem to come to. He hasn't come to grips with it. He's not winning this race. It's more likely that he'll lose by a landslide than win narrowly this race.
It ain't going to be no other Democratic candidate. It's going to be Biden, and we better know it.
I'd say that Biden would do himself and the country a great service by stepping aside, take a bow. And
but when I was with my kids and the window was rolled down and had a couple different people go, hey, Joe, leave Biden alone.
Yeah, you did.
That was like in the day or two after the debate. And it's anecdotal, but I've had enough calls from elites over the last couple of weeks who want him out. And enough calls from members of the sort of Democratic rank and file. They're not ready for him to get out.
He just has to step down because he can't win. And my colleagues need to recognize that.
The president that I see every day, including yesterday, a couple of times in the Oval Office, is robust. He's lucid. He's clear. He's direct. And he's in command of the context and the information.
Democratic strategist James Carville published a piece in the Times today called Biden Won't Win. Democrats Need a Plan. Here's one.
I'm just telling you, it's inevitable. He will come to the conclusion. People will get the message to him.
Do you think Clinton and Obama would agree with your idea in the New York Times today?
I can't.
Just for the people at home, James wrote a piece today, you can read it in the Times, where he says Obama and Clinton hold a series of town halls and they pick who gets to participate and vet the ideas in the different regions of the country so that by the time you're into the convention, everybody's seen everybody and you can have a good vetting process and come out with a new ticket.
This is not a dreamy position for Joe Biden to be in with his party in disarray like this. Carville's there at the end of that montage. David Axelrod, he wrote an opinion at CNN. Biden's defiant delusion. He's saying Joe Biden is delusional. He believes his lies. He's been living in lies for so long, just like Joel Hilliker said in that trumpet brief last night. If you don't subscribe to our daily briefs, by the way, they're just email blasts, short, pithy articles. You can get to them at our website, thetrumpet.com. And of course, for all of our literature, there's no cost, no obligation. Axelrod says, only the Lord Almighty could persuade him to give up the race. I like how they talk about Christ's return or God's hand in human affairs. But only when it's a big joke. You heard it from the fake president. You heard it from Stephanopoulos. Well, read the end of Revelation 11 and see what it says about when the Lord Almighty does return to this earth, when he does intervene. Matthew 24 says that if he didn't, we would destroy ourselves. That's the trajectory we're on. And yet we're being headed up by people that are so full of pride. They are so sure that they are the one, that they are the deliverer.
that they know how to save the nation, that they know how to save the world. Pride comes before the fall, the proverb tells us. Pride comes before shame. He says, denial, delusion, defiance. That's how Axelrod describes the fake president. This is what the fake president had to say when he called Morning Meltdown yesterday morning. He was on the phone with them. Clip two.
Have you been tested for any age-related illnesses, pre-Parkinson's, or anything like that that might explain sort of having a night like that where you couldn't finish sentences?
If there was something that was wrong that night, it's not like it comes in that one night and goes away. That's why I've been out. I've been testing myself, been testing everywhere I go,
okay.
Going out and making the case.
He tests himself. That's all you need to know. He's perfectly fine. But at least there's a few that are asking him now. For 3.5 years, you were called a conspiracy theorist. Or you were accused of producing a cheap fake, manipulating video to make him look like he had dementia. Now listen to them as they pivot on one night, so many of them, June 27th, just a couple weeks ago. They asked him, by the way, in the press briefing yesterday about him calling in to Morning Meltdown and whether or not he was in the White House using a script for that seemingly spontaneous interview with Joe and Mika. Here's how the French lady defended the fake president, clip six.
During the call today to Ms. MTC, was the president reading off of the script?
So I was in the room when the president called into Morning Joe. The president spoke from his heart. The president was very clear. There was no script at all. And he was very detailed. You heard him say actually during the call that he was reading some quotes. He said it. He shared that information. He was reading some quotes from the debate. So he shared that with you. What you heard was a passionate interview. It was about 18 minutes. He talked about and laid out his vision for this country. He talked about how he wants to make sure we move forward. I want to be really careful because he also talked about the campaign, which I can't do from here. But I think it was incredibly powerful.
He was reading quotes, but not from a script?
Nope, it was not a script.
Lots of quotes, presumably on sheets of paper, but no script. Totally unscripted. And judging by the quote that Jake Tapper read back, she may be right. She may be right. But either way, these people, like Mr. Hilliker said, they've been living in a world of lies for so long that they now believe them. They believe their lies. The New York Times, they've had enough of Joe Biden. This is from just last night. President Biden clearly understands the stakes, but he seems to have lost track of his own role in this national drama. As the situation has become more dire, he has come to regard himself as indispensable. He does not seem to understand that he is now the problem. Wow. He is the problem, says the New York Times editorial board. These are the people heading up the New York Times saying, what, less than 4 months, 3.5 months out from the presidential election, Joe Biden is the problem. He's not the indispensable solution. He's the problem, and that the best hope for Democrats to retain the White House is for him to step aside. They just keep getting exposed, the regime. They keep, because it's all politics. He's got to step aside. He's got to let someone else get in there that has a better chance of beating the bad orange man, because we're all in agreement that he's Hitler, and we just have to stop him. And Joe Biden can't do that. So they're eating their own. This is from Axios. Behind the curtain, unbendable Biden versus breaking point Dems. I mean, this has triggered a war in the Democrat Party. And it's exposed a lot of corruption in the process. We're now in uncharted historic waters. President Biden, backed by First Lady Jill Biden and his convicted son, Hunter, who's serving as de facto gatekeeper for longtime friends, says that nothing besides an act of God will persuade him to quit his reelection campaign. I mean, this is just incredible to watch. Hunter, the convicted son, the drug addict, the womanizer, the bag man, collecting tens of millions from all over the world, including from America's adversaries. And now he's like the chief of staff almost. Democratic lawmakers have gone from shock to sadness to madness since June 27. These Democrats, further deflated by Biden's high-stakes ABC interview, believe there's nothing he can do to reverse the damage or his aging. David Axelrod, well, goes and talks about what some of the Obama sycophants have been out there saying. Axelrod, Carville, this is Van Jones. He says, nobody believes Joe Biden's going to be president in 4 years. And so we're in the worst possible world because she can't defend herself. She has to defend him. We can't defend her. We have to defend him. The reality is we are running Kamala Harris for president one way or the other. I'd rather run for president in the strongest way rather than the weakest way. We can't get behind Kamala because, well, Kamala's there in the same administration that the French lady's a part of. So she's got to defend him. Should be an interesting lead up to the Democrat convention. Can Joe Biden survive to go ahead and win or to confirm the nomination? He's got, what, 4 or 5 more weeks to go? And judging by the first 2 weeks after the debate, as Mr. Hilliker wrote, I mean, he's digging in his heels. And it's not getting any better for him with respect to the polling. This is clip 7.
Right now, Donald Trump leads in an aggregate of national polls by about 3 percentage points. If you go back 4 years ago at this point, Joe Biden was ahead by 9 points. This right now don't look anything like what we saw 4 years ago at this point. I then decided to take it a step further. What was Biden's worst 2020 polling position? He was ahead by 4 points, which basically matched what he ended up beating Donald Trump by in the national popular vote. So this 3-point advantage for Donald Trump is Donald Trump's best position versus Joe Biden, whether you include the polls this year or you include the polls last cycle. The idea that the polls underestimated Joe Biden last time around, simply put, does not hold any water. We talk about the presidential race. Last time around, Donald Trump actually did better in the results than his July polls by 5 points. You go back to 2016, you see something very similar. That is, the July polls actually underestimated Donald Trump. He outperformed his July polls. So the idea in the Trump era that the polls have underestimated Democrats, whether it be in a Joe Biden matchup, whether it be a matchup against Hillary Clinton, whether it be in the midterms, at least in the national polling, that right now shows Donald Trump in his strongest position, simply put, is not true. If anything, the polls have underestimated Republicans during the Trump era, especially in the presidential races in 2016 and in 2020.
On that front, I mean, how unusual is it for a Republican to be ahead by this much right now?
Yeah. So let's go all the way back. Who led in early July polls? Well, right now, Donald Trump is ahead. Go back in 2020, a Democrat, Biden. 2016, Hillary Clinton, a Democrat. 2008, 2012, a Democrat. Even in 2004, where George W. Bush ended up winning, John Kerry was actually ahead in the polls at this point. You have to go all the way back to 2000, to George W. Bush being ahead in the early July polls. You have to go all the way back to the end of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century, to find a Republican ahead at this point. 24 years. At this particular point, the idea that a Democrat is ahead, there are voters in the electorate who are dealing with a poll position they have never seen before, and that is a Republican leading in the national popular vote.
It's not reflective of polls that suggest that 75% of Americans, that includes an awful lot of Democrats, it includes an awful lot of independents, people who supported Joe Biden in 2020, who made him the president, who are concerned about him running for another term in office, given that he is already the oldest president we've had, that he's asking to be returned to office when he's 86 years old. Those poll numbers were terrible for Biden even before the debate, and they have certainly not gotten better for him.
You can see why Donald Trump is lying low at the moment, playing golf, just keeping quiet, and letting the fake president just speak for himself. Call up MSNBC. Sit down with George Stephanopoulos and brag about your crowds and how you're saving the world. Just keep talking. Keep right on talking. When we come back, we'll look a little bit more deeply into the behind the scenes of all of this. And again, coming back to the dear leader and his role and how his power, his grip on power appears to be slipping. We've also got some feedback following the Celtic Throne performance from this past Sunday here in Edmond, a sold out performance at that. So a few more exciting tidbits to get to before we conclude today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
We came all the way from St. Joseph, Missouri to see Celtic Throne, and I loved it. It was fabulous. I would love to see it again.
I would definitely drive down here and see it again. It was wonderful. The dancing, the costumes, the music, everything. Just beautiful. Loved it.
Absolutely awesome.
It was awesome.
I brought her because she's starting dance. I wanted her to see what real dancers look like, and there's nothing better than to bring her to a Celtic Throne show. I saw Riverdance many, many, many years ago. This is actually better.
It was my first time coming to one, and it exceeded my expectations. It was wonderful.
It was great. I loved it.
It's incredible, as always. I love it.
So inspirational.
It was awesome. Great job. It was fabulous.
Blown away. Even better than last year, and I thought last year was amazing.
Choreography was just outstanding. Outstanding. Well done.
I think it was absolutely incredible, and I've seen it almost 100 times, I guess, and it never gets old. And now what am I going to do? I have to wait for Celtic Throne 2.
I think it was amazing, and I've seen it many times, so it's always worth seeing again.
Oh, the show was fantastic.
No,
we loved it.
No, we
didn't know anything about Celtic Throne until today. Saw some advertisement and came, and it was well worth it.
My second time seeing it in person. We see it online a lot at home.
but it's definitely not the same as in person. Yeah. I get the full experience.
It was incredible. I don't know, I just have this special place in my heart for him, so it makes me happy to see him dancing.
Really talented musicians, and we really enjoyed all the music that went along with it. The music, the dancing, it was all great.
Well, I think it's great. I love it. They look so young.
Oh, yeah.
They look so young. I like the dance part. But the musicians, oh, my goodness, especially the bass player. I love him. He's such a cute young man.
It feels like you're a part of the show and not just watching it. I love the show. This is my fifth time seeing it live.
This is also my fifth time seeing it live, and it's always amazing. It's, like, my favorite thing.
This is the fourth time I've seen it. It's electric, it's inspiring, it's current. I could see it 100 times more and it would never get old. I love it.
I was impressed. We were here back in February to watch it, and everything is sharper, it's better. Their jumps are really impressive, the kicks. So yeah, it just continues to get better and better. It's nice to see the generations and the little ones coming up.
I am just so fascinated and loving every minute.
Oh man, this is a fantastic show. The life that you see in those young people, the smiles, it just livens everyone's day. And it's absolutely fantastic. And I highly recommend it for everyone to come see this show whenever they have an opportunity.
Lots of repeat customers seeing the show over and over again. A lot of them saw it online if they live overseas. And because of camp, they come through here and they're able to see a performance live, as we usually schedule an Edmund performance right before SEP, or at least the last few years we have. So, and a reference there too to Celtic Throne number 2. We're actually working on that even at this SEP, this summer educational program. So we'll keep you, not exactly sure when that premiere will be, or even exactly sure with what we'll do with Celtic Throne 1. There's always some flexibility built into the schedule, but it is exciting to see the kind of reaction that we get at every single show, every single performance. So in the first segment, we were just talking about this growing divide, this war in the Democrat Party, Joe Biden and his handlers digging in their heels, and the dear leader through Axelrod, Carville, Van Jones, out there pressuring Joe Biden to step aside. It's interesting to even see where the focus is for Joe Biden's campaigning. He's finally doing some of that and bragging to Stephanopoulos about the huge crowds that he's drawing. In a lot of cases, he's reaching out to the minority community, which you would think he'd have that in the bag just because of the dear leader. But as we've covered in recent months, I mean, Donald Trump is attracting more and more Black Americans, Hispanics. This is from Politico. Biden's survival plan, decry elite critics, appeal to his base. It says, sitting on a panel here at Essence Fest, an annual gathering of Black leaders, Representative Maxine Waters brought the crowd alive here Saturday with the declaration, it ain't going to be no other Democratic candidate. It's going to be Biden. So here's another one that's on one side or the other, mixed messaging. Maxine Waters, she says it's going to be Biden. We got to get behind him. It doesn't matter if dementia has set in. It doesn't matter how many times the Parkinson's expert visits the White House. Just beat Trump. It says here, as the president fights for his political life this week and calls grow from party leaders that he withdraw his candidacy, he's counting on the support of African-American Democrats and his union allies as his last line of defense. It's a playbook that Biden has turned to in the past. Another one here, New York Times, Maureen Dowd. Her title, Joe Biden in the Goodest Bunker Ever. I guess that goes back to the Stephanopoulos interview where he said, as long as I give it my goodest. That's in Joel Hilliker's trumpet brief, by the way, as well. Hey, what if you stay the course? What about if you lose? What about if you hand it over to Donald Trump? Biden said, hey, as long as I give it my goodest, as long as I give it my best, that's all. It's all about him. It's all about his political campaign. It's all about his legacy. And as Joel Hilliker says, he's been living in a world of lies for so long. I mentioned that in a recent program, the first time he ran for president, I think in 1988, he was exposed as a liar, as a plagiarist. He was taking speeches from other candidates across the pond and using them here in the States, padding his resume, lying to reporters, saying that he finished at the top of his class or near the top. All lies. As we've covered on this show in recent months, I mean, some of the lies, they're inconsequential over the littlest of things. The Uncle Bozy story, for example. Why? Why would you lie about something so tiny, so insignificant? That's just the world he's been living in. It's been all about him. I can skip over the Maureen Dowd piece and just come back to this war between Barack Obama, the dear leader, and Joe Biden. Listen to this clip from Victor Davis Hanson, clip 9.
This is really weird, this last 10 years, how the left has gravitated to using non-elected power in the United States to implement their, all of their agendas did not come from the legislative process. Whether it's amnesty for illegal aliens or student loan debt or destroying the border, these have all been processes in the Congress, and they weren't. They were administrative state agency directives from the president.
It's the most undemocratic movement that we've ever seen in the United States. The party that talks about democracy nonstop, they're about to see how democracy works in November. A landslide, assuming it just stays the way it is, if it's on the course that it's on, then a lot could change between now and then. And there's going to be a lot of cheating. But can they get away with it again, 4 years on from the election steal of 2020? This is part of why they fear Trump as well. I mean, he's coming back in not just to do things like seal the border and drill, baby, drill, but he's going to expose. He wants to tighten up election laws. He wants to get rid of mail-in balloting. He wants to get rid of the machines. And he wants to expose what happened in 2020 because no one else has the courage to do it. Sundance touches on this. He's convinced that it's only a matter of time before Joe Biden steps aside because this is what the dear leader wants. Says here, meanwhile, in a coded message, Joe Biden technically blamed the Obama network today when he called in to the MSNBC radio show and pointed fingers at the DNC elite. We played you that. It was in the cold open. Everyone knows the DNC is now under the full control of Team Obama. This is why Sundance's analysis has been so good over the years, because he sees what the dear leader is doing behind the scenes. He knows why the dear leader didn't leave Washington, D.C. after his second term. He sees all the dear leader's sycophants in the Biden administration. It says, if Biden feels the Democrat elite are targeting him, he understands Barack Obama is behind the approvals to unleash internecine attacks against his administration. Death by 1,000 Obama cuts. It says here, the Obama network operate inside and outside D.C. simultaneous to the assault against him. Biden is now also facing the intelligence community, who have decided it's time for Joe to go. Biden is now facing two enemies, the Obama network and the intelligence community. The story of the Biden's doctor having a financial stake in the Biden family business only comes to the surface via the intelligence community. They know. I mean, they know what all of, they know what the Biden crime family has gotten away with. They know that the family doctor's in on it. He's on the take as well. And then it gets leaked that the Parkinson's expert is visiting the White House. They're trying to run him off because they've got to find somebody that can beat Trump. That's what it all gets down to. It says here, that's a direct shot across the bow that tells us the IC now considers Joe Biden's disposition against their interests. The clock ticks faster. The clock is ticking on Joe Biden's administration. So says Sundance. Well, we'll see. We'll see. God's definitely, as Joel Hilliker brought out in the trumpet brief, he's definitely rubbing their noses in it. And the more the fake president digs in his heels, the more is being exposed. As I say, how perfect would it be if they get to the end of the DNC and then find out, well, I guess we've got the empty suit. I guess we've got to go with the man that has dementia. And we already threw him under the bus, and we already acknowledged that we've been part of the cover-up. And we've been calling for him to step aside, and he won't do it. Now we've got 2 months left. So now what do we do? Top to bottom, they're all being exposed. Sundance says here, where did I leave off? With the clock ticking faster, we leave the if stage of the exit and come toward the how and when phase. This now transitions the entire process into a negotiation for the exit price. And it talks about the Biden crime family and, you know, Hunter's going to need the pardon. How are they going to continue to make money in the pay-to-play scheme? Really is a sick, sick system. So much sickness, so much disease. It's like a cancer that spread right through the party, and everyone's raiding the Treasury before they're run out of town. Everyone's fearing being exposed if Donald Trump comes back. Everyone's panicking. They may be all over the map with their mixed messaging, but they're all in panic mode. They all know that the party's about over. It says the Obama network is in control of the DNC apparatus and domestic media presentation. Obama himself will keep above the fray, but watch for the messages and signals from the other members of the team. And then it talks about how the intel community, as we just read earlier, they're panicking as well. It says further on, from the position of the intelligence community, Joe Biden is less important than their priority of ensuring President Trump does not win re-election. It is an existential and or zero-sum battle from the standpoint of the IC. If Trump wins, they could be destroyed. They could be destroyed. Biden or someone, anyone, must defeat Trump. The IC doesn't care who removes the threat Trump represents. That's the strongest path forward part. However, Trump must be defeated. That's the lens through which they all view anything that's happening. Even when you've got this spectacle that the whole world is watching, by the way. Get Trump. Prevent Trump. I'll just conclude with Mr. Hilliker's trumpet brief again. You can get a free subscription to that email blast at thetrumpet.com. He says, the journalists, politicians, and others who have covered for this man, speaking of Biden, for years are getting a bitter taste of how dangerous their unprincipled behavior is. They created this Frankenstein monster. Now they're watching him choke to death their hold on power. It's all coming down. It's all tumbling down. Says the leftists, Obama in particular, are being exposed. All of them thought the Lord Almighty's not coming down. They were sure they could get away with their crimes indefinitely. Now their deceptions are returning to haunt them. The consequences of their chicanery are biting. Their grip on power is slipping. They're running out of aces to draw from their sleeves and rabbits to pull out of their hats. And they're growing increasingly desperate as they face the prospect, not just of defeat, but of reckoning, of being brought to justice for their crimes. All is unfolding with the exquisite irony of an implausible movie script. And as much as Republicans may relish these developments, it is crucial that we recognize the grander forces at work. Well, for much more on that particular point, make sure that you request a free copy of America Under Attack. There's no cost, no obligation. Just call our operators today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. And we made it through 55 minutes with a raspy voice. Hopefully, the voice will be stronger tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.